I invite you to turn to John, the 6th chapter. We are on the heel of Easter. Easter will be here just 2 more weeks, and then it's going to be Easter. And we have taken the story of Jesus through his ministry leading up to the time of Easter and selected a couple of key things that happened in his ministry that we're going to highlight. The first is going to be today. This story that's involved in all 4 of the Gospels is pretty important, mainly because of its ramification upon the people who received ministry, but also because it was recorded in every one of the Gospels. It was a fabulous event. And I want you to kind of think a little bit of, in the context of what happened. We're fixing to talk about when Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Tremendous miracle. Now, we see it as a tremendous miracle because of the duplication, the multiplication of an item, not because of the huge, unbelievable impact. Now, the reason I say that is that miracles sometimes tend to fall in that category of a tumor that disappears or a miraculous amount of money that appears, things like that. However you guide that thought process and how you would define a miracle is important because, you know what, it's your miracle. It's kind of like when I have a hurt, I don't care if it's a paper cut compared to your arm just fell off. You know, my hurt is the biggest because it's my hurt. It's mine. I own it. And that's for that reason it becomes significant. Miracles also become irrelevant because maybe we have minimized miracles. Maybe we have decided that they're not a big deal anymore, or we've rationalized them. We've explained them away. I got to tell you, we live in a society that we are thriving the best that we can to make sure that there's a scientific reason for what's going on. There was a thing on the cable channels, I forget which channel had it, but they were trying to take all of these incredible things of the Old Testament, these miracles that God did, and explain them away as to how they could logically happen. I don't know that they had an agenda. I don't know if they were trying to downplay God or downgrade what God did, but if it happens in your heart, then miracles are not going to happen. It's because you just don't believe in them. That's all there is to it. And it's not I'm trying to revive that today, but I think we need to look at this incredible thing that happened in the ministry of Jesus that goes far beyond everybody having lunch. John, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 13. So Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. And he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him and said, "It would take more than a half of year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When he had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now, I know this is a little bit of a sidebar, but if some of you have been paying attention, and maybe if you have the History Channel, there's really kind of a cool thing going on Sunday nights. It started last Sunday night that the History Channel is showing a 5-part documentary. I think it's only 5 parts. It's 10 hours long on the Bible. I remember when I was a kid and I went to the Ten Commandments. It was a Saturday movie, and with 5 Pepsi bottle tops, you know, you could get in. And we watched, you know, Charlton Heston stand up there and the Red Sea parted and all this. It was just amazing, all of these things that happened. And I think it's really cool that the History Channel, regardless of how authentic you might think it be or how genuine it might be or what they may have left out and how they tell the story, it's fabulous that the Bible is back on the big screen, so to speak. And it's getting an awful lot of coverage. Last week alone, they had 13.1 million people. It was the highest rated TV show on Sunday night. I'm not here to promote that. I'm just telling you it's a really cool thing that's going on. And in that were the miracles. They spent their time in the Old Testament. They haven't got to the New Testament yet. But when you see the miracles that God does in the Old Testament, those are fall mainly, and this is a broad brush that I'm using to paint this picture. Most of those fall in the category of miracles that he did for man. In the New Testament, most of the miracles that we see are the miracles that he did with man. And this is one of those miracles. The disciples were a part of this. They didn't stand back and watch and go, wow, you know, we were just disconnected. We were just spectators. They began to be a part of that. And it's real important that you pay attention to that, because the next miracle God wants to do in your life is probably going to have a human element. There'll be a godly person, but a human element. And don't be surprised that you are that human element that he wants to use. So let's be careful not to disqualify ourselves before we go any further. But Jesus turns to Philip. Now, how would you like to be the disciples? Here we are. You're just one of them. You're Philip, okay? Philip doesn't get a whole lot of coverage, you know. I mean, you got to Google him to find out a whole lot about him if you find out much. But Philip's not one of the main characters, you know. It's Peter, John, and James, and those kind of guys. Matthew every now and then, and that type of deal. But, you know, Philip's just kind of a part of the crowd. And then Jesus turns to him. How would you like to be in that crowd? And he goes, Philip. This kind of selects you out of the crowd. You realize that, don't you? When somebody calls your name, you ever been in trouble on the group plan? You know, you got in trouble on a WAD, you know? There's kind of safety in that, all right? And then someone who is instructing you along the lines of what you did wrong calls your name. Don't you just want to kind of go, it was a we thing? I mean, we're just kind of in this thing together, you know? You kind of want the group thing there. But that's not the way it happens here. He talks to Philip, and he says, where are we going to get enough bread to feed these people? Now, Philip, you know, he could have said a lot of things. Instead of going, you know, you're the Lord. You're the Son of God. You can do anything. I mean, stop and think about it. You turned the water into wine. You healed a guy that was sick for 38 years. Surely, Lord, you can provide bread for everybody. But instead, he used his logic and he used his mentality, and maybe that's what you and I would have done too. He says, Lord, look, half a year's wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each one of these to have a bite. Here's what Philip saw. Philip saw the crowd. He saw the difficulty it was going to be to feed all of that crowd. He looked at the problem, and I'm not going to throw Philip under the bus because we probably would have been right in the same position. But instead of looking at the problem, he should have looked at Jesus. Because that was the solution. Now let me just jump ahead to several parts of my sermon today and tell you that one of the biggest things I'm going to encourage you to do is to train your eyes to look at the source that can provide instead of the things that do not appear in the circumstances that you're facing. Because I'm going to tell you what, when the need is great and the resources are small, it's real easy to look at what you don't have instead of what you do have. And here's what happened right there with Jesus. He saw all of that. And this sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? I mean, we do that all the time. God has unlimited resources. We know his grace is sufficient. He has unlimited power. But what do? We always look at what we don't have instead of what's going on right in front of us, instead of looking at him. And a lot of times we lose our memory, too. We forget, you know, Jesus has done this thing before. Not only do we have the spiritual record, not only do we have the testimony of the Bible, but we have other people that have told many, many stories of God healing, God providing financially, all kinds of things. You need a job, you don't know when you're going to get it, but God provides. Boom, boom, boom. And we forget these things. We forget that he's promised that he'll never leave us, never forsake us. We've forgotten that he's brought us through some rough times before, and we go right back to that situation of racking our brain, trying to figure out how we're going to work out this circumstance all on our own. Usually, apart from Jesus. And it's just a part of us that we've got to conquer that. And we've got to leave that opportunity over. Why don't we look at Jesus? I really believe the two biggest killers of miracles are when we're facing something that is far beyond our ability, and we realize that we're the only resource we have, and the only thing we have beyond that is what we can do. So you start looking at what you can do. You start looking at where you've been. You start looking at this situation, and you start eliminating yourself from the possibility that God's ever going to do anything. And that's not the way to do it. Now listen, I realize this will look like a hopeless situation. There were 5,000 men there. Now, that's beside the women and children. I love it when we get to play with the numbers. Because in reality, there would have been some women and children there. So the possibility is that not only was there 5,000 men there, there could have been between 10 and 15,000 people to feed. So does that not just magnify the miracle that much more? Of course it does. But if you're looking at what the Bible says, 5,000 by count, but you're seeing as Philip's eyes, 10 to 15,000, I mean, you can't even see over all the heads. You're going, how in the world are we going to do this? It's going to take us 8 months just working just to get all of that so that one person can have one bite. Again, he begins to limit himself. But I got to tell you, it's always going to be hopeless unless we put it in the hands of God. It will always be the case. But we understand this. Even though we say it, I don't know that we believe it. But with God, everything is possible. Do you really believe that? And now listen, I'm not trying to push you into a corner. We believe that right now. We really do. But when we're tested, does it come up? Does it register as our number one thought? Will it be a statement of faith? Or is it just a little cliche that we've adopted in Christianity? It has to be what we really, 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 really believe. If not, then it's just going to be something that happened. I don't really think that God has ever cared that anything that he has done is ever registered as logical or rational, that it's ever been able to be explained, or that it made sense to anybody, or that anybody could prove it with a slide rule. I don't think he's ever really cared. So you know what? I don't think we should care either. I've prayed for people before. I'm talking about in the hospital. I'm talking about for health. I'm talking about for resources. And a lot of times I've said this, God, we don't care what the evidence is. We really don't care that there has to be this medical, you know, line of thought that there was an x-ray and there's what it showed up, but then later on there was another x-ray and it didn't show up. We don't care about that. We just want to be healthy. We just want to have the resources. We just want to be able to go on. We want to be able to smile again. We don't care how you put these two people that are absolutely at opposites with each other and the tension and the struggle. We don't care how you do it. We just want you to put them back together again. I don't care if it's a parent and their child. I don't care if it's a husband and his wife. I don't care if it's two best friends. I don't care if it's a church. Just put it back together. We don't care how to explain it. We just want that miracle to happen. So let me share a couple of things with you real quickly. Because when the resources are few and the need is great, I want you to remember a couple of things from this story today. The first thing is simply this. All God needs is what you've got. Now, I realize that's an easy thing to say, but it should be comforting. The minute we are in a big problem like that, we start trying to come up with all of these things and resources we know we don't have, energy, strength, abilities that we don't have. We're looking for something that is not there, and what we need to just look is to see what's in our hands, because that's all God needs. All he needs is what you've got. You don't have to manufacture anything else. You don't have to be anything more than what you are for God to use you, and that is the coolest thing in the world. In Luke, the disciples said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Notice the word only. Isn't that the way we feel? When something huge happens, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know where we're going to find the resources. We don't know how we're going to bail this thing out. We just go, this is all we've got. I mean, this is all we have. And we start, that's a limiting statement. You know what? The thing that we need to understand is that I don't think that they knew what they had. Or I should say, they didn't know who they had. Because they were just looking at the lack of bread, and they were looking at how much it would take, the wages that they didn't have, instead of looking straight at Jesus. There were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is that compared to 5,000 hungry people? The follow-up statement is simply this: nothing until you put it into the hands of God. Now listen, I know this is going to be one of those ridiculous preacher things that you do, but I want you to do this with me, okay? I want you to look at your hands. Look at them. Just get them out there, look at them. Okay? I want you to look at your feet real quick. All right? Now, beyond this, you're going to have to use your imagination. I want you to look in your heart. I want you to think about your voice. I want you to think about your abilities, your gifts, and you can put your hands down now. Thank you, Pastor. Listen, all God needs is what you've got. You don't have to be an opera singer for God to use you if he wants to use you musically. Now, listen, you know what? If I really wanted to go out on a limb, this is what I do. I would say, take your purse, take your wallet, take your checkbook, hold it right in your hand, and look up at God and say, God, this is all I've got. And you know what? I think the next time you have a huge bill that you've got to pay, you don't know how you're going to pay it, I would suggest you get your wallet out, you get your checkbook out, you hold it right in your hand, you look up to God and say, God, this is all I've got, but I give it to you. I give it to you. A lot of times we're trying to figure out who we're going to borrow it from, or where the loan is going to come from, or how can we rob Paul to pay Peter. We're doing all of this stuff, and it's useless math. It's this crazy investigation, when what we ought to do is first start right there and say, God, this is what I got. Because your heart, your mind, your heart, your spirit, your voice, your abilities, your wallet, what is that compared to a hungry world? It is nothing until you put it into the hands of Jesus. All he wants and all he needs is what you've got. So don't fret that you don't think you have enough. And do not minimize what you do not have compared to others. Because God doesn't, stop and think about it. Two, and what does it say? Small loaves, small fish. That's the way it's described. It wasn't, hey, this guy's got a couple of loaves of bread. This is pretty cool. A couple of big old bass out there. No, little bitty fish, little bitty loaves. That's all God needed. The second thing is this. God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Listen to what it says. Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Here's a little boy with his lunch, and God used those two ingredients to do one of the greatest miracles of his ministry, to do one of the greatest miracles that we'll ever talk about. And unless you forget it, there's another time when he did this another time with 4,000 people. Jesus is pretty good at doing little, the big things with little stuff. But what is, so what's so special about this boy? I'll tell you what's so special about him. He's not even named. It doesn't even say why he's out there. There's a lot of speculation. A lot of speculation would take us down the road of some commentaries that say, he was probably like a lot of other young men and girls, that they were a part of the family and providing. He had probably been out there, fishing, probably caught the fish. He'd probably been to the market to get the loaves. And then they start speculating on its barley loaves versus wheat, which would mean he was probably a poor boy versus someone wealthy. They would have had a much better grain that would have been used instead of the barley loaves. Well, forget all of that. All I got to tell you is this boy is so insignificant. All he's mentioned is by gender. And what about the fish and the bread? I got to tell you, if I'm going to get a feast, I would much rather have, I'm just thinking, here's some raw fish and some bread. Now, I'm not trying to minimize that, but, we live in a culture that if there's not some tartar sauce and some hush puppies, we're going to be pretty upset with this whole thing. But here, that's exactly what was going on. So what was so special about that? There was nothing special. So listen, let me tell you something. The next time you feel really, really unimportant, you are positioning yourself to be very, very valuable. Do you understand that? You may think of it as a demeaning thought in yourself that you go, I just feel like I just don't even fit. I just don't matter. I don't have anything to bring to the table. I don't have any great resources. I don't have any great talents. Guess what? God is positioning you to be one of the most valuable things that he could use if you'll just let him. The third thing is simply this. God's blessings occurs at distribution. The blessings of God occur when they're distributed. The bread and the fish weren't multiplied when Jesus had them in their hands. They didn't begin to multiply when he prayed over them. It's when he handed it out that it started to be multiplied. It started to be duplicated. And it went through 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people with 12 baskets left over. It is when it is distributed that it becomes important. Listen, when we use our gifts, great or small, that's when they become significant. That's when they become blessed. The secret is not in possession, it's in distribution. The secret isn't what I have. It's not the number that represents your wealth. It's not what you have parked in your driveway. It's not the size of your house. It's not how many things you own. It's not how many people you know. It's when you begin to use your resources and use yourself and you begin to duplicate all of those things that God begins to bless those. There's an old phrase that says, use it or lose it. And there's an awful lot of Christians that accumulate things, but they never use them for God, and they're old and they're frustrated and they're just completely, discouraged in the ministry and in church because, God's given, 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 but they've never, ever used it for anything. And God says, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Now, remember the story of Elijah and the widow's oil over in 1 Kings 17? The Bible says that this lady had a little oil and a little meal, and she was going to cook a meal, and her son were going to die. But the prophet got a hold of that story, and he said, listen, make me a cake first. And then the story says that every time she went to pour out the oil, there was more oil. It was as she used it that there kept being more and more oil. So I got to tell you, sometimes instead of God saying, listen, cherish what you got, God's probably going to start saying, you need to start using what you got. Instead of holding on to it, you're going to be in trouble. God doesn't give us these things so that we can have them. God gives them so that we can use them. So if you have a talent, if you have ability, if you're hospitable, if you have, you know, outgoing personality, if you have the ability to teach, if you're great with children, I mean, there's places for you to use those gifts, but use them. Don't sit back on them, because God can't bless them unless they're being distributed, unless they're using them. That's all there is to it. Listen, I think one of these days we're going to wake up and find ourselves on a new reality show on the A&E channel. It's called Spiritual Hoarders. And it's just going to be all of these things that we've just kind of harbored to ourselves, and we just kept them, you know, and we thought it was pretty cool that we have all of these things, like perfect attendance pins to Sunday school class, and we have 12 Bibles over in there and all these commentaries, but we never reached anybody for the Lord. I think it's going to be a very, very disappointing day. Let me share the last thing with you. With God, we always end better than we started. You always end better than we started. And my mother told me, be careful when you use words like all, never, and always. And I have no problem using that word always in the context of this story. With God, we always end better than we started. Matthew 14 says this, they all ate and were what? Satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. It took 5 loaves and 5 fishes to feed thousands. And then it says that they were all satisfied. And at the end of that, they had more than they did at the beginning. And your logical mind just cannot wrap its arms around how that happened. That these little loaves and these 2 fishes literally did that. And I love the way one movie showed it this way. Jesus handed these fish off to these men, and they went to put it in a basket. Next thing you know, there was just fish flowing everywhere. I thought, that's pretty cool cinematography there. That's pretty cool movie making. That was awesome. I like that. I don't know how I would have done it, but it was just a cool thing. So I don't know how God did it. I just know that it happened. But in the context of this story, you know what? They overemphasized their problem. They underestimated their resources. And I tell you what else, they underestimated the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible doesn't record what the disciples said. Didn't matter. It doesn't say that they stood back and just went, are you kidding me? With their mouths wide open. It doesn't say that they said anything, or that they cheered, or they yelled, or they screamed. It just says that they collected all of these things and brought back to him. And here's the lesson for all of us, that no matter how impossible it seems, with God, there is nothing that is impossible. I like Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. Will you say that with me? Nothing is impossible with God. Just because we said it doesn't mean that we're convinced, but at least we had those words that crawled out of our mouth so that the next time something happens and God says, you know what? I realize you would have put yourself on the end of the line. You would have reduced yourself to the last person chosen. You would have decided that you don't have anything to contribute. I want you to remember something, that nothing is impossible with me, and I may want to use you in a mighty way. I may want to use your meager little resources and your little bitty talents, and I'm using your words, not mine, to do something fabulous and outstanding and unbelievable and even miraculous. That's not even where the story ends. Listen, there was more than enough. Jesus said, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over and by those who had eaten. So here's all I'm trying to do. Guys, we're just cranking right up close to Easter. And I'm just trying to prime the pump, if you will. That we will start investigating that not only is it springtime and not only is Easter coming, but you know what? Maybe this is a season of miracles. Maybe this is a season when God's going to give us some weeks and some months of great blessing because he's going to use something that we thought was insignificant, irrelevant, unusable, very, very ordinary, no big deal, and use it to the extent that he wants to do something miraculous with it. I believe that with all my heart, but we've got to just go there and believe it. Let me remind you, the lesson is simple. Give God your resources, ask him to bless it, and he will always provide. Add this to that, more than enough. He will always provide what? More than enough. So 2 questions real quick. What do you need today? What do you need? Because we all have needs. We all have needs. Most needs that finally end up at the altar usually are represented by physical situations, medical circumstances, overwhelming you know, problems that we just don't know how in the world we handle, whether it's a relationship or a money issue or I need a job or I got a big decision to make. We have to let it just kind of fester, is the way my grandfather used to say. You let that thing fester too long, it's going to get infected. We let it grow out of proportion before we decide to give it any attention. God is saying, you know what? It's small and no big deal, but you know what? Your need, all I need is your need. But then show me what you got. Just bring me what you got, and let's see what we can do. And that's what God wants to do. That's what I think God wants to do that for you and for me today. So I don't know what your need is, and I don't know what you've got, but you do. In your head right now, you know. So I'm going to ask you to just join me in just a minute and ask God to bless that. And we're going to ask God's blessing on it. Some of you have businesses. Some of you have incredible overhead. Some of you have some big stuff you got to do. Some of you, I don't know, you have relationship issues that are just huge. And whether it's directly in your family or it's a distant thing, some of you with some, maybe it's some workers or a neighbor, I don't know. And I'm not trying to fish to make sure that I finally find a button to push with you. I'm just saying, there's issues that if you limit it to the story in the Bible, you will disconnect yourself from that event because you weren't on the mountainside sitting in the grass receiving fish and loaves, and you'll think, that's a cute story from the Bible, but it has nothing to do with me. You kidding me? It has everything to do with you. Everything to do with you. And God today wants to take whatever little bit you think you have that is nothing and ordinary and say, if you will give it to me and let me bless it, I will do big stuff. Matter of fact, I will not make sure that not only do I take care of the situation, but I'll take care of you. Sometimes we forget to realize that the disciples were also a part of the crowd that got satisfied. God may take your little bit to do something huge somewhere else, but he's not going to leave you out of the loop. God doesn't use you. You're not a disposable plastic bottle that he's just going to use to carry something, and when it's done and it's empty, he throws it away. No, he's going to preserve you as well. I asked the men to come and bring our missionary offering back. If you guys will bring that up right now. Brother Mike, will you join me? I just want to do this today. We just took up an offering for Mike down in Uruguay. And you know what? I don't know what's in here, Mike. I want you to hold it for him, please. That's yours. We're going to ask you to take it home with you. I doubt there's $25,000 in there. I just doubt it. That's terrible. Here's the pastor doubting. Yeah. And if a bunch of bread and fish start flipping out of there, I'm going to flip out. It's going to be pretty, pretty awesome, and I'm just going to freak out and probably have a heart attack, but that would be cool. Okay. But here's what I want us to do. I want this congregation to have the opportunity to pray over this, and I don't know how God does it, and I don't care to. We've already mentioned that. But somehow, whether that's a seed or whether that's the whole lot, I just believe that we have to believe that God can take this little bitty, no big deal in comparison to your need down there and bless it. And somehow by the time that April rolls around, you're going to have the money that you need to keep that. I just believe that with all of my heart. And now here's the thing that you got to do. You will join me in praying for this right now, but do not exclude yourself. Whatever this is going to be the point of our prayer, but I want you to include yourself in this. Don't be one of those people who say, I will believe for him, but there's no way God's going to do that for me. Whatever it is, God will do it. Let's just put it in his hands right now, okay? Stand with me. Extend your hand toward Mike. I'm going to ask a couple of our deacons and the men to come, and we're just going to lay hands on Mike. We're going to lay hands on these bags, and we're just going to ask the Lord's blessing on it. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, we are using this as a symbol and an example of something that is small compared to what the real size of the need is. The need is great, the resources are small. But Father, we ask today, O Lord Jesus, that as we put it into your hands, that you will bless it, that you will multiply it, that God, you will cause it to do things that we never dreamed it would do in the natural. We pray that it will do extraordinary things, that it will do the irrational. We pray, God, for a miraculous return on this investment today, on this contribution, on this offering today. We pray, God, for Michael, and we pray for Debbie, and we pray for the students in Uruguay. that you will bless them today, Father. And what little they think they bring to the plate, Lord God, or to the table, that it will be blessed of God. It will put in your hands, Lord Jesus. And as these students are used by you, God, that we will hear of fabulous churches planted, tremendous harvest that is being reaped. And I pray now, Lord God, for our congregation, for people right now, Lord Jesus, that they are thinking of their own circumstances. And we're not being selfish, God, but we're going to take you at your word, that if we will just give our small resources, just what we have, we're not borrowing from somebody else, we're not trying to make anything big out of it, we're just saying, this is what we've got, Lord. And now, Father, we just ask you to bless it, swords, so that it will just take care of the need. Because, Lord, we do believe that you will leave us better than we started. We do know that you will give us more than enough, that you will satisfy our need. God, I pray for relationships to be mended today in the power of Lord Jesus Christ and through your Spirit. I pray for bodies to be touched today, oh God. I pray for finances to be literally just miraculously healed, oh God, by your power and might. I pray, God, for the person who came into this room today longing for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that there's something that this church represents, and his name is Jesus, that right now their little faith, oh God, will be matched with who you are, the Lord of this universe, and that they will see themselves as valuable, usable, God, somebody of great redemption. Lord, I pray that you will do that for them today. We love you for this moment. We love you for what you do in our lives now. Oh God, bless us as we put ourselves into your hands and ask you to bless it and use us. We will not hold back, oh God. Instead, Father, I pray in the next few weeks we will see the miraculous. We'll hear about the miraculous. That, God, you will just be doing things that we never dreamed would happen. But it's all because you gave us the opportunity to believe. And we believe in you today. Thank you for that, oh God. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, if you really, really believe that with me, say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Mike. God bless you. We're looking forward to what's going on. Robert, if you'll take that back with you. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? I finished 10 minutes early today. So I would like to give you my testimony. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I wish that there was a way to do something that I can't do. I've often thought in witnessing people, if there was a way that I could just take my heart, what Jesus Christ has done for me, and just take it out of my chest cavity and just put it in their chest cavity. If I could just take my heart, put it in their heart for just 10 seconds. I know they would want my Jesus. I know that. And I pray that today, if I could just use that as a selfish illustration, I just wish I could take my heart for you and my love for you, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ's love for you, and just take it and just put it in your heart just for 10 seconds. It will not remove all of the titles and the issues that we face, but it will remind you who he is and what he wants to do. And with that, I pray that you will have that blessing the rest of the day, and that he will continue to just put his heart in your heart this day. Hey, God bless you. As many of you can be back tonight, we have our man-to-man ministry that will be happening after service. God bless you. Have a great day. You are dismissed.